Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bill Belichick absolutely crushed this offseason. Yeah, I mean, obviously it starts with the draft because we're talking about Mac Jones. Right. Christian Barmore and Ramondre Stevenson also look like home runs, by the way, in this year's draft. But in free agency, typically, when a team drops the bag the way New England did, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And while they might have overpaid a bit for Aguilar, in all of those highlights, you're seeing contributions from guys that they signed this year. I mean, I've been saying all season that Matt Judon looks like the best signing in free agency. Kendrick Bourne might be the best value that any team got at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's Mina Kimes on ESPN.
Forget value, Mina. He's the best receiver to sign in the offseason. Most productive receiver to sign in the offseason.
Because I'm all about value.
I am all about value. Antonio Brown, that was the one that we did get yesterday a little bit, and I hear that. Although that was a re-signing, but you're right, he signed. And then he's been
Brady.
Hurt for so much.
Yeah,
he's
like been hurt for a while. There's the Brady part of that too, right?
Yeah,
there is.
But he's clearly the better player. I'm just saying Bourne has been a surprise because so many of the other guys have fallen apart. Like Curtis Samuel played last night. I think it was only his second or third game for football team. Like he's been hurt all year. Corey Davis started hot, then went down. So, yeah, Mina Kimes listening to the show, stealing some of our takes from
Instagram. And I think for Antonio Brown, there was really only one place he was going to go.
Correct.
Whereas with Kendrick Bourne, his services were available to everyone who wanted him.
Right.
And this free agent group for Bill Belichick, and by the way, if I'd actually listened to that cut from Mina Kimes before the show,
what's wrong with that?
I might have dug in on the whole, you know, normally when you go spend a ton of money in free agency, it doesn't work. But I think
that's right.
But it really depends on how you're spending it. Like with Bill Belichick, this was more of a restocking the shelves, let's put it that way, versus, you know, I know I've been critical at times of the way the Rams have gone about doing things, but it's like, give me this superstar and this superstar and this superstar. To me, like, that's the Washington Redskin way when they went and did it. It was get this shiny toy, this shiny toy, this shiny toy. Whereas how many of the guys that Bill Belichick signed did we look at and go, woo, that was a shiny toy? Judon
and the fact that they got both tight ends.
Well, both tight ends. And that
both
sort
tight ends is a real surprise. No, I mean, I agree overall with that sentiment because normally it is the Redskins or the Raiders or the Jets have done it, that they just go crazy in free agency and it's just desperate spending and your team stinks. You probably don't even have a good coach and you just go crazy. But I didn't have a problem at all with what the Patriots did because they had the money. I was more upset with how they handled the year before, and Bill even admitted during the season, this is sort of a reset year. All right, so if you're going to have a reset year, and then you have this money available, and you need players, and you don't sign them, how would that have looked? It's almost like the Red Sox.
Yeah.
It's like, we need guys, but we're not going to sign any of them. We're going to be close, but we're not going to sign any of them. I think the Patriots, for the most part, and again, they didn't hit on all of them, but that's, I don't think any team does that, or they hit on every single one of their free agents, but they had so many holes to fill. And they did a great job. But also, the draft is so important, too.
Very much so.
Because if you just spend big money in free agency and then maybe trade your picks and bring in more high-priced guys or you miss on your picks, well, that changes things, too. Because normally in free agency, you're grabbing guys who are, what, 26, 27, 28, maybe even older at times.
In that wheelhouse, yeah.
But you're drafting guys who are 22. Right. And so that is completely different. And they are cost-controlled. So anytime a team hits on both, if you have a big free agency and a good draft class, like I don't know what you could complain about.
And see, and maybe that is a little more of the secret sauce because I was highly critical of when Seattle traded two first-round picks for a safety when they weren't close. And now, by the way, the New York Jets have two top five picks. If the season were to end today, the New York Jets would have the fourth and the fifth pick in the draft. But it just goes to show that it is more than just free agency, and it is more than just the draft. And this might be the perfect combination of both. But I brought up on sporttrack.com, it does a great job of following these contracts and things like that. So I wanted to look at some of the higher end shopping that went on in the NFL in 2021, right?
Yes.
Because
what do you got?
Matt Judon right now might look like or be the best free agent to have changed teams in the offseason and come in and make an impact.
Yeah, I mean, he's legitimately in the mix for Defensive Player of the Year.
Now, I know that Trey Hendrickson of Cincinnati, who was signed away from New Orleans, who got a little bit of a bigger contract than Matt Judon did. Judon got 4 years, $54.5 million with like 32 guaranteed. Hendrickson got 4 for $60 million, but only got $16 million guaranteed. He's having a nice year.
Yeah, he is.
But listen to this, okay?
Yep.
Trent Williams got the biggest free agent contract in the offseason, the left tackle for the 49ers, where they signed him to a six-year deal worth $138 million. He is 32 and a half years old.
Yeah, but he's killing guys
this year. He is killing guys this year.
He is destroying guys.
And when on the field, Trent Brown, for $6 million, killing people as well.
Yeah, Trent Brown is
another story
guys.
For another time.
Yep.
Bud Dupree got the next biggest contract. He jumped from Pittsburgh to Tennessee. They just put that guy on IR.
Yeah, that's too bad because they needed a pass rusher. They thought they got him, and then, yeah.
The third biggest contract handed out in free agency this past offseason in the NFL went to Joseph Tooney. On paper, it said 5 years, $80 million. It feels like more of a 1 or a 2 year deal, and Tooney got 37 and a half. Actually, it was 30 total guaranteed, $35 million, 33.7 guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like their offense is any better.
Well, there you go. I think that's fair.
You know,
Kenny Golladay, disaster.
Just hurt
going
all
to the
year,
Giants.
And the team blows.
Hurt and a mess. Corey Lindsey, a center, went from Green Bay to the Chargers for a ton of money. And then you get to Hendrickson and then Judon.
Yeah.
And then it starts to fill in after that, right?
Okay.
So that's where after Judon, in terms of the biggest just on paper contracts, it was Jonnu Smith, 4 years, $50 million. 31.2 guaranteed at signing.
And he has not lived up to it. Like, that's the thing, is they threw a lot of money at a lot of different players, and he has probably been the most disappointing in my eyes. But because they've hit in other areas, they've been able to make up for it.
Right.
I think if this team was struggling more and Jonnu Smith's season was the same, I think we'd be on him a lot more because the expectation is, oh, wow, you got this guy who Bill Belichick loves, thinks he's great run after the catch. They can use him in a variety of ways. He had 8 touchdowns last year. Well, this year he's done nothing, but they've been able to overcome that.
Yeah, and then it's you got Lawson, then you got William Jackson. Shaq Griffin, by the way, got $25 million guaranteed from Jacksonville.
Well,
oh, Lord.
I mean,
a pretty bad one. And then, as you mentioned, there's Hunter Henry, right? Now,
yeah.
Hunter Henry, 3 years, $37.5 million, $25 million guaranteed. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. How do you describe the year Hunter Henry has had? As expected or better than?
As advertised. Maybe. Well, I don't want to say better than. He has a lot of touchdowns. He doesn't get targeted a whole lot. And Mac missed him, obviously, on Sunday. That could have been maybe
another touchdown
for him. But he doesn't get targeted a ton. But in a year where tight ends across the board, and I'm talking just in the passing game, have not been super effective, he's been one of the better tight ends, believe it or not. So I think he's been good. I think one of the concerns was going to be injury with him, and he's been on the field way more than he hasn't been. So I think he's been solid.
I'm with you. I'm not as down on Smith as – right now Smith is almost like a net neutral at this point.
How is he neutral?
Well, here's the thing. There was the injury in there, and I do think that McDaniels is figuring out how to use all of these guys. The mistake that we – And I'll include all of us in this as well, and maybe as fans made, we were paralyzed by Gronk and Hernandez. And we looked at Henry and Smith as Gronk and Hernandez.
Well,
and expected, or some version thereof.
Yeah, but I think because we were 2 years removed.
Production.
2 years removed without Gronk, I was just hoping for anything more than that. It didn't have to be Gronk and Hernandez. It just had to be better than Matt LaCosse and Ben Watson and Devin Asiasi, and Hunter Henry certainly is. Jonnu Smith, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's better than those guys.
They're
but
still figuring out what to do with the guy. Like, they're handing him the ball. They're running him on, you know, different sweeps and things like that.
He's on pace for 33 catches, 345 yards, and one touchdown.
Mm. I mean, the numbers aren't great. There's no doubt.
No, they
are. But I don't think he is toast in this offense, though.
Yeah, I kind of do. I think guys have passed him by.
So you think he's done?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to cut him. I just think that if you asked Mac Jones and he said, listen, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings, but when you're dropping back to pass, rank the guys you have in confidence as far as going to be in the right spot, going to catch it, not bat it in the air and give it to the other team, I think he would say Myers, Bourne, maybe even flip the two, maybe Bourne, Myers, Henry, the running backs, Aguilar, then Smith. I bet Smith's the guy he trusts the least.
See, because here's what I think, or at least here's my theory. Save the tape. I might be dead wrong. In that after the bye and into the playoffs, we're going to start to see more of the Jonnu Smith layers to the offense.
Maybe.
A, healthy, and B, it's the McDaniels kind of figuring it out along the way. And then you had Jalen Mills, who I know we touched on Jalen Mills a little bit yesterday, but now looking at Jalen Mills, 4 years at $24 million and only $9 million guaranteed. So it's a four-year deal, and you're only on the hook for $9 million for the guy. I mean, that's going to work out pretty well. We mentioned the wide receiver class, and that's the thing I do want to follow up on, is the wide receiver class from last year, because I know that there have been a ton of people who have been all over Nelson Aguilar, and rightfully so. Like, I thought you would have been at the point of, oh, Aguilar's never going to do anything versus Smith isn't going
to
do anything.
Well, no, but to me, I never thought Aguilar was. I haven't changed my tune on Aguilar. I just thought that was, you gave him too much money. He's never been that good. I didn't think he was going to be productive in the offense. Smith, I got my hopes up for. So Smith, it might just be more of a reaction to the disappointment.
Fair enough.
Whereas Aguilar is like, all right, he's sort of an afterthought. And thankfully, and I know you're going to get to him, but thankfully Bourne has been really good. Because if not for Bourne and Henry, I think there would be way more attention on Aguilar and Smith because of the money that those guys made.
So the fourth biggest free agent contract given to a wide receiver was to Nelson Aguilar. The difference is the guys on the top three got, like, I don't want to say staggering money, but like Kenny Golladay got $72 million on a four-year deal and $40 million guaranteed. $40 million for that guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff that doesn't compute.
But he's a lot better than Aguilar. He's been hurt all year.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He's been dinged. But, you know, if that guy's available, are you like, oh, my God, I got to go get Kenny Golladay?
No, I didn't want to pay $72 million for him. I'm just saying in a vacuum. I mean, the fact that they paid, what was it, $25 million or whatever it was for Aguilar? Like, that's insane.
Aguilar, 24. Two for 22.
Oh, 22, excuse me.
Yep, and it was $16 million guaranteed at signing.
Yeah.
So you're looking at the average annual value, about $11 million a year. But it's in terms of the average money, Kenny Golladay, $18 million, Corey Davis, $12.5 million, Curtis Samuel, $11.5 million, Nelson Aguilar, 11, and then you drop down to Kendrick Bourne at like $5 million on an average.
Yeah, weak class. Not a very good group of receivers.
You want to hear the people behind Bourne?
That's all trash.
Jamal Agnew. Okay. Could you pick Jamal Agnew out of a lineup? I know I couldn't.
Nope.
The only receiver in football to be wearing number 39.
Terrible number. It makes you look slow.
It's because originally he was just like a kickoff returner / special teamer.
Stinks.
And then all of a sudden decided to start catching passes.
Awful.
Marvin Jones.
He's old. But he might have been better. He might have actually been a better signing than Aguilar.
He was 2 for $12.5 million.
That's what I'm saying. Just for the money alone, he'd be just as productive as Aguilar. Most people would be.
Will Fuller signed a 1 year deal at $10 million and like
hurt
broke
all the time,
a leg and gets hurt.
On suspension.
T.Y. Hilton is old. He went back to Indy on like
but
a 1 year deal,
stay,
$8 million.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy people have forgotten about because he didn't go for the big money. Took a 1 year deal at $8 million in Pittsburgh. And then got hurt and has not been heard from ever since.
He really should have gone to Kansas City. That was stupid on his part.
And then we're talking about A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, Keelan Cole, Sammy Watkins. So the point of bringing this up for those of what's the point here is that, A, it was not a great group.
No.
And if at worst Bill Belichick signed the most productive wide receiver in the offseason based on the numbers that we've seen. And yes, there are some mitigating circumstances in there, like Golladay being hurt and I mean, if you're Corey Davis, you're wondering, okay, I got a bunch of money, but what life choice did I make going to the Jets here?
No, that's a mess.
That when you look at it with a little bit of perspective, every signing is not going to be an A-plus signing, but I don't know if Belichick has a true clunker in there.
Yeah, again, because the season's not over. Like, I think Jonnu Smith has been a clunker. But like you said, it hasn't dragged the offense down because they found other guys to go to. Mm-hmm. Like Hunter Henry has 7 touchdowns with 5 games to go, and he's played in every game, which I think is sort of
that's important.
And then the fact that Bourne has actually emerged into a bit of a playmaker. He has 5 touchdowns on the season. He leads the team in receiving yards despite having like half the targets that Jacoby Myers has. So he's been a pretty productive player. The offensive line's good, and the running game is good. So they've been able to get by with it, but they're still, I mean, if you were just grading every player, right? Like say like Davante Adams is an A+.
Yeah.
If you're grading every player, what's the highest graded player on the offensive skill position?
It would be Hunter Henry.
Henry.
Do you include the tight ends in that
group? Yeah. I mean, besides the running backs, I mean just the receivers and the tight ends. Yeah, I guess. Henry's probably like a B+.
Henry has been a solid B+.
Yeah.
I think right now Jonnu is probably a C-.
Yeah, that's
right now
generous.
A C- with room to grow. Now, again, I might be dead wrong in that they got no layer to this guy, or he's kind of the key to, you know, a little second half run here maybe in terms of juicing the offense. Aguilar, now I'm curious for your grade on Aguilar because you had him at an F coming in.
I definitely did.
But when you compare him to some of the Jags that you know, like you look at the Nelson Aguilar contract and you're like, for that guy, it's not great. But for what was given out last year, it ain't the worst. I guess that's the best we can describe
it. But again, he is, if you play it out, he's on pace for 43 catches, 555 yards.
He's on pace. Terrible. He's on pace with some of those guys that were above and around him contractually. Like a lot of those dudes that we mentioned, like Corey Davis, I think he's got like, 30 catches or something like that, whatever it is. Galladay did get hurt.
And he got most of those early. No, I mean, those guys, they haven't been very good. I mean, you know, So Bourne and Myers rank 32nd and 33rd in the NFL in receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not terrible. But then you got to scroll a ways to get down to, you know, Nelson Aguilar. And he's technically supposed to be the number one receiver. He's 66th in the league in 12 games. He has fewer receiving yards than Antonio Brown has in 5.
Yeah.
That
tells you something.
Yeah.
And again, if Antonio Brown had worked out, Tom Brady might still be here.
No, I know.
Scary thing about that whole Antonio Brown thing. Did anybody have a better free agent class than what the Patriots have done with Bill Belichick? As much as there have been some guys in there that we're not completely in love with, did any other team make as much impact on their football team in free agency as the Patriots did?
I don't think anybody had as much of an overhaul where you have impact players on both sides and guys getting as the number of snaps that they're getting. Because on any given play, defensively, you can have Matt Judon, who might be the defensive player of the year, so without question is the best free agent signing.
Yep.
Then you have Jalen Mills, who's now a starting corner. You have Devin Godchow, who is in that rotation and is actually trending upwards.
He's played really well.
And Kyle Van Noy coming back. He's turned it on the last few games. I think it was kind of up and down early.
Mm-hmm.
He's come back, and he's been pretty solid. And then, obviously, Barmore, a draft pick, not a free agent signing. But those are 5 guys defensively who have all been really good, including your best defensive player, either he or Jackson. And then offensively, it's just kind of silly, like what kind of overhaul you have, especially with Ted Karras solidifying the offensive line, believe it or not. He's been great at guard.
Joe Tooney, $18 million. Yep. Ted Karras, $4 million. Drop off? Little to none?
I don't think much. And that's why I thought it was so stupid to pay Joe Tooney the franchise tag last year. It's like, to what end? I feel like Bill's done a pretty good job of finding guards.
Mm-hmm.
He can find guards. So, but those guys, and then, you know, Mac Jones and Ramondre Stevenson, the receivers, the tight ends, Trent Brown. Like, it's just, at times out there, you might have 7 new faces from that weren't even on the team last year. So that's hard to pull off. And on top of it, be leading your division with all those new faces.
The other thing, too, that jumps out about the Belichick free agent class that I think now we look at and be like, oh, that's actually kind of an important point. Matt Judon, 28. Jonnu Smith, 25. Hunter Henry, 26. Jalen Mills, 27. Aguilar, 27. Re-signed David Andrews. He's only 28 years old.
Oh, yeah, right.
Godshall's only 26. Kendrick Bourne is 25. Like, Van Noyt, I think, just turned 30.
Yeah, the oldest dudes they have are, what, McCourty and Hightower that play.
But in terms of the free agent signings,
James
White is 21. So
these guys should be here a couple years.
The crop of people they brought in are going to be a part of the core future for a long time. I think it is very easy to just be like, this one guy sucked, so the whole class sucked. And I'm glad we've sort of morphed from that a little bit because, look, I have hope for Jonnu Smith. I don't have much hope for Nelson Aguilar in terms of becoming a bigger part of this offense.
And why would you?
That's going to be the one that will probably be like, okay, that, like, by the time it's done at the end of next year, that one might be the clunker of a signing. And even if he catches 40 balls next year, I don't think people will be down on that, in part because you had the negative thoughts in the head to begin with Aguilar.
But I still think, like, just across the NFL, let's say, and you probably signed more than this, but if you bring in 10 guys and five of them really hit, then it makes up for the other five. Of course you'd like to sign. Of course, every guy who comes in, you want him to be a Pro Bowler. Like, we signed this guy. Right. He's great. But if you get the impact type of guys in some of the most important positions, like, you can easily make up for a disappointing Nelson Aguilar or Jonnu Smith season. Because everybody else has been either as advertised or better, besides those two.
Worst free agent signing by Bill Belichick: Nelson Aguilar or Cam Newton? Because remember, Cam was on the roster at the beginning of the year, and they gave him, like, you know, $2 million or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a 1-year deal up to 13.6.
Yeah, but how much real money is, like, $1.5 million?
$1.5 million guaranteed base and workout bonus, some incentives. $2 million signing. So basically, they gave Cam $3.5 million to let Mac beat him out.
I think Aguilar, because of what you just said, I think Aguilar is the worst signing because it's not
more
like
money.
Well, not only that, but Mac Jones wasn't given the job. He had to compete with a guy who was a former MVP and is still looked at very highly by his teammates and everything else. And so that had to give him confidence where he came in here, never beat out a guy at Alabama, and immediately beats out a guy in the NFL. I think that part's actually not something to ignore.
And maybe the best signing sneakily, Nick Folk. $1.6 million.
Best player.
Guy might be a Pro Bowler this year. Well, he's going to be a Pro Bowler, probably.
I don't know. You get Justin Tucker
in
the AFC.
Well, there is that, too. Yeah. And there is that inherent bias in there with Tucker anyway. So there you go, looking at Bill Belichick, the GM. Let's look at Shime, who's ready to trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Off faceoffs. Marshawn, physically tough against Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
I thought it was two guys tangled. You know, we're battling for a puck. We got tangled up. I mean, they'll have to decide. You see a lot of those in the game. They're typically along the boards more often than maybe in the open ice, but I've seen a lot of it this year.
That is Bruce Cassidy, who, as we just found out in Shime's Trending here at the bottom of the hour, that Bruce Cassidy and the COVID protocol.
Oh, boy.
So I got to be honest with you. I will plead ignorance on this one. I know in the NFL they pull you out. You can't be around the team and all that.
Yeah.
Does Cassidy have the ability to be the coach upstairs all by himself? I don't know how.
You kind of FaceTime him in a little bit.
Well, it's that. There is the sneaky little headset that like earpiece that one of the assistants wears, and they could, you know, talk to the coach that's kind of upstairs and looking everything at the bird's eye view. Mm-hmm. I don't know what in the world could happen tonight with that in terms of Bruce Cassidy, but oh boy. We got us some Bruins stuff to talk
sure
about.
Sure do.
So we know the Bees are going to play tonight, but we found out yesterday that Brad Marchand suspended for 3 games for a slew foot.
The old slew foot. Brad slew foot Marchand.
And this isn't
not his first slew foot.
No, not at all.
No, he's run into this before.
I wonder how many people who are not puckheads know what a slew foot is.
I mean, it kind of...
Sounds like the
thing. Let your imagination run wild a little bit.
Well, some might think, well, is that what Tiger Woods has now that his leg got hurt? He's got a slew foot. He drags it along. He's not going to be able to swing anymore or anything like that.
No.
Basically, you're putting other players in danger when you use the slew foot.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that people are like, oh, yeah, Brad Marchand's kind of taking out some of that stuff out of his game. He's not that guy anymore. It's like, I think it's always kind of in you.
It's in you.
I don't think you completely eliminate it. I don't think we run into it quite as often as we used to with Marchand.
Get better controlling it as you get older.
And he hasn't licked a guy in a while, so that's promising. I think I'd rather. I mean, would you rather get slew footed or licked if you're a hockey player?
I think lick.
We'll have to ask Ray Kroft on Thursday.
That's a good one.
Rather get licked or slew footed.
Got to make sure we write that one down.
But I mean, he's a guy that, and I think he did it and he deserved to get suspended. But even if it's close, again, reputation is gonna punish you more than anything else.
So if you're a fan of Seinfeld, I know you and I are. Yeah. There was the episode of Seinfeld where Jerry was writing jokes for Kenny Banya and put them in a folder, and George read them with the Yankees, and George had got a book on tape to try to learn about risk.
The jar is round. Why don't they call it round team?
Bingo. And it was like in his voice, right? So it freaked everybody out and all that stuff. If you're a fan of Seinfeld and you know that reference, you're about to hear that voice once again from the NHL player safety video on Brad Marchand describing why he is suspended.
Sunday night in Boston, Bruins forward Brad Marchand delivered a slew foot to Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. As the video shows, Marchand and Ekman-Larsson skate toward the boards with speed in pursuit of a loose puck, jockeying for position as they approach the wall. Marchand engages with his upper body, pulling Ekman-Larsson backwards as he simultaneously extends his right leg to use as leverage in taking Ekman-Larsson down. These actions cause Ekman-Larsson to fall dangerously to the ice. This is slew footing. It is important to note that there are many occasions during the course of a game where players use either their legs or their stick and upper body to restrain or impede opponents, or to gain leverage during a puck battle. When these plays rise to the level of being illegal, the vast majority of them can be adequately punished with in-game penalties. What causes this play to rise to the level of supplemental discipline is Marchand's use of both his upper and lower body to take Ekman-Larsson to the ice in a dangerous fashion, and the speed at which the players are traveling toward the boards. To summarize, this is slew footing.
Got it.
Marchand has been suspended 6 times in his 822-game NHL career, including a previous suspension for slew footing. The Department of Player Safety, has suspended Brad Marchand for 3 games.
I choose to look at it as he played 816 games where he didn't get suspended.
I love that.
Yeah, whole, I mean, he's a pesky little player.
This is a slew foot. It was it, honestly, I don't know if you've ever been to Spaceship Earth down at Disney World.
I've never been to Disney World.
In there, you get in these, like, they feel like roller coasters, but they really aren't.
Got you.
And it goes real slow, and it takes you through the evolution of man. And you hear that music.
That music's great. Like, it helps. Meow.
Oh, yeah. Back in 1960, when man invented television, this is what the modern living room looked like. Oh. And you go through Spaceship Earth, and it takes you through all this stuff.
At the time, I wonder, like, who was in charge of that at the NHL level? They said,
who's the music guy?
Your description's fine, but we need to liven it up a little bit. They're like, what should we do? They're like, I don't know. Do we have any elevator music we could put on in the background?
I mean,
like, I got just the thing. And they got some intern there just like mashing the stuff up. They're like, all right, we'll take your boring ass voice, we'll mash it up with this, and we'll send it out. Because somebody was like, not good enough. Like, well, he could just sort of explain what the slew foot is and why we suspended him 3 games. Like, nope, we need to jazz it up.
Could you have that same music except use the voice of Gary Tangway for it, and would that jazz it up?
Maybe too sexy.
The Department of Player Safety in the National Puck League. I mean, Hockey League.
Where is
I did a movie with George Muras.
Where's Ben Simmons? I mean, really, but that's what you get for now. Those used to be done by Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
He had a little more juice to the voice there.
He did,
but
they're like, let's give it a little bit of a little jazz. So,
no Marshy for 3.
No.
And then Jake DeBrusk.
I mean, this is pretty amazing.
Hold on. I'll just tee this up for my friend Rich Keefe here at 11:37 on the Gresh and Keefe Show on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Jake DeBrusk has requested a trade. Keefe, your thoughts.
My first thought was, a couple of months ago, we said, is N'Keal Harry the worst player to ask for a trade? Jake DeBrusk has entered the chat.
Hold my beer.
Jake DeBrusk at least had a promising year back in 2019.
Okay.
He had a 27-goal season, and you're like, all right, not much of a playmaker, right? He's never going to be a big assist guy, but if you put him maybe at best second line, maybe third line, he can maybe score some goals for you. But there's just too many times in the years since then where Bruce Cassidy has benched him for straight up effort. Not like, oh, he's not scoring as much as we want. He's not trying. At what point do you defend that? Like, how can you say, yes, Jake DeBrusk is value add to this team? He has been a bum for the last few years. And there was a lot of talk about moving on from him in the offseason. Remember, there was even the, hey, make him available in the expansion draft and the Kraken will take him. Like, well, that didn't happen. And then you're like, all right, well, maybe they're going to trade him instead. Well, that didn't happen. And now you get into the season, a couple of months in, and now he's demanding a trade or requesting.
Requesting.
You don't request a trade. You're demanding a trade.
That is true.
That's how that works. And I just think it's gotten kind of messy. But his value is probably going down by the day. If you traded him in 19, not that you would have wanted to, you might have gotten something for him. But now it's 2.5 years removed. He goes through these long scoring droughts. And then it's the, well, we got to motivate him, send him up to the top floor there to watch for a couple of games. Like, I don't think you're going to get anything for the guy, but it's probably best for both sides to move on.
Yeah, he's mentally defeated, I think, in terms of playing here, which is part of the reason why he requested a trade. And apparently the Bruins are trying to find a trade partner to be able to move on from DeBrusk. And maybe what Bruce Cassidy said on Saturday should have been a bit of an indicator. Now, again, DeBrusk, was benched on Sunday for the lack of effort. And this was Cassidy on Saturday ripping Jake DeBrusk right up your alley, Keith.
You know, over the last few years, is like when the production there is there, you're getting more second effort. When it's not there, we lose a little bit of that. And that's been the ask of him for a number of years now. You know, we understand certain guys can be physical when they're not scoring or bring something, and for him it's foot speed, and I'd like to see that every night. I'd like to see him impact the game with his foot speed every night in some way, shape, or form, whether it's forecheck, attacking the net, penalty kill, whatever the case may be. That's kind of where we're at, and we're starting to see that drop off again. So it's a reminder, hey, bring us the effort, and hopefully the production happens, but we need that.
It's outrageous. It really is. Yeah, like, you're a professional athlete.
If this were Nelson Aguilar, we would be going nuts right now.
You're making millions of dollars. They're not asking you to carry the offense. They're not asking you to be a 30-goal scorer. They're literally asking you to try, and you can't.
Blend in.
You can't. So he's like, I want out. What, so you can not try for somebody else? What can we? How can we sell to another team? Like, listen to this guy. He scored a bunch of goals years and years ago. He's a first-round bust, and he doesn't try at all. We sit him up on the top floor more often than not, and he doesn't really respond to that, and now he wants to demand a trade. So you're bringing in a guy who doesn't even want to be in Boston, which, last time I checked, is a winning franchise. He's been on good teams his entire career here in Boston, and now he wants out. Taylor Hall's probably looking at him like, you want out of Boston? Where do you want to go? Buffalo? Like, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Who's going to take you on right now? So, I hope they move on from him. And, like, I wouldn't expect to get anything of quality in return.
Do you think Don Sweeney just sort of, like, goes into his phone and starts scrolling through GM numbers, yeah, right? And he calls the, I don't know, like, maybe he calls, like, the Chicago Blackhawks or something like that, you know?
Maybe.
And he presses the number, and it's like, hey, this is Don Sweeney, and you get a hold, please. And they put you, here's the hold music. And they're like, damn it, Sweeney's calling us about the brusque. What do we say?
They're like, you interested in, I don't know, Jake DeBrusque?
Don,
what'd
you say? Don looks at his phone. He's on hold for 2.5 minutes. Yeah. Like, you're at a call center. And he's like, wait a minute, where's the GM of the Blackhawks? You can't even tell me to F off.
He's like, hey, do you have a seventh round pick bird hole in your pocket? Because we are ready to make a move.
That is great.
So apparently,
Don Sweeney, I've been on hold for 13 minutes with Las Vegas. We're hoping for the best here.
Update from TSN, Ryan Rashog. How would you say that name? Any idea?
Sounded good.
TSN, let's go with it. TSN reporter, blue check mark. Early returns on Jake DeBrusque being available have been substantial. As many as 8 teams
are the Red Sox
have
in?
Already reached out. Red Sox Red are Sox interested. They have inquired about the player, and more are expected today. So apparently everybody in the league wants Jake DeBrusque.
They've inquired about the player.
Yeah.
Hey, is this guy a quitter? Well, we don't know. You want to find out? Mm-hmm. Give us a 7th. We'll be mm-hmm. good. So the Bruins are also in action tonight as well. By the way, Tuukka Rask has been showing up more and more over at Warrior Ice Rink, Ice Arena.
Yeah, he'll be a starting goalie in 2 months.
Yeah. DeBrusque out, Tuukka in.
Fair trade.
There we go. Your fantasy football waiver wire ads are next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Is that OJ or Adam Rank, who's in the Gresham Keefe Fantasy League and is tanking it right now? Doesn't matter, because Scheim and Keefe are here to help you win your fantasy league. Fantasy waiver wire pickups are brought to you by Cars for Kids. Speaking of pickup, if you donate your car today, it can be picked up as soon as tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. K for Keith.
That's right. We got week 13 pickups. That's
what?
Right. Week 13. So only a couple of weeks left in most standard regular seasons.
In well-run fantasy leagues.
Correctly run. And now you got the extra week. But still, you shouldn't be playing week 18. So you have 2 weeks and then 3 weeks of playoffs. The bye weeks are still rolling on. So no Browns, Packers, Titans, or Panthers this week. So certainly a bunch of guys that you're probably starting. So here are some pickups. Scheim, I'm going to go first here with a guy who had a chance to be the starter, then was no longer the starter, and now is back to being the starter again. That'd be Chuba Hubbard of the Carolina Panthers, because Christian McCaffrey is out. He is done for the season. Now the Panthers are on a bye.
What a shock.
So this is one that if you're in a pinch for this week, Chuba Hubbard won't help you, but maybe it helps you actually acquire him, and then you can use him for the regular season finale and into your playoffs.
The other guy in that backfield to keep an eye on who's probably even less rostered than Chuba Hubbard is Amir Abdullah. He came in, played pretty well once they picked him up, and might have even outplayed Chuba Hubbard in some spots.
How dare you?
He'll catch a lot more passes as well than Chuba Hubbard did, so just keep an eye on that. The guy that I have to mention this week, and normally we don't do this, he is rostered in over 50% of Yahoo leagues, but it's such a big deal. Dalvin Cook just got injured. He's going to be out at least a few weeks. Alexander Mattison is a guy that could literally come in and win you your league if he is a free agent. This guy is going to get every touch. He is a legitimate workhorse backup running back, which is very rare in the NFL. The two games this season, Dalvin Cook didn't play. Alexander Mattison had 112 yards rushing with 6 catches for 59 yards, and then 113 yards rushing with 7 catches for 40 yards. This guy gets a ton of touches in this offense, so you make sure Alexander Mattison is picked up in your league.
All right, I'm going to go. This backfield has been tough to figure out this year in Philadelphia, but I'm going to go with Boston Scott. He is available in the vast majority of leagues, and he has gotten 10 or more carries in 4 of the last 5 games that the Eagles have played. And this week, they happen to be going up against the New York Jets, who give up the most points to fantasy running backs. And again, Scott coming off a season-high 15 carries, 64 yards, a touchdown, also had a couple of catches. So out of all those guys in that backfield, grab Boston Scott.
So I mentioned Alexander Mattison, who has Detroit this week. Well, Detroit has some running back issues. DeAndre Swift is kind of banged up. So I expect Jamal Williams to get a bunch more touches. They were getting a real kind of close to 50-50 split to start the season. Then Williams got banged up a little bit, so Swift took over. Now that Swift's banged up, I kind of expect Jamal Williams to kind of take over a little bit in this backfield. So make sure he is rostered as well.
Another bad backfield, but somebody's going to have to get the carries. The New York Jets, I'm going to go with Tevin Coleman. Last week, 16 carries for 67 yards. He also caught 2 of his 3 targets. Of course, Michael Carter on IR. It's really Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, something called Austin Walter. So I'm going to go. And Walter actually had he had the score last week, but Tevin Coleman had way more carries. So grab Tevin Coleman if you need a back.
And a bit of a dark horse pick for you guys. If he's healthy, he's going to be the starter in New Orleans. That's Taysom Hill, especially for those of us like myself who have Aaron Rodgers on your team, have a bye week this week. Taysom Hill could be the play. When this guy starts a quarterback, the rushing upside alone is huge for him, because inside the red zone, he just takes the ball himself and he scores touchdowns all the time. When this guy started last year, he was a top 5 fantasy quarterback. I don't want him on my team in real life, but in fantasy, give him to me every day.
Hey, can I ask a quick question on Taysom Hill? In most leagues, does Taysom Hill have multiple position availability? So, like, if I know he's going to be the starting quarterback this week, but in my league he's a running back, should I start a quarterback and then still throw Taysom Hill in there as a running back?
If that's an option, sure, but I'm pretty sure that for the most part, Taysom Hill is listed as a quarterback just about everywhere now.
Okay. Cut
because
down on
that. Last year, there was a huge controversy where he was listed as quarterback tight end, and so you could start him at tight end and then still start a quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's basically like you have a super flex, and he was popping off too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of tough for a lot of people. But I think this year, for the most part, around every league, he should be listed as a quarterback.
ESPN, he is only a quarterback. That one I know for sure. And my last pickup of the week is DeSean Jackson of the Las Vegas Raiders. Last week, you saw on Thanksgiving, 3 catches. That's all DeSean Jackson needs some games. 102 yards and a touchdown. He was only targeted 4 times, but again, it's sort of the classic DeSean Jackson. And now with Darren Waller banged up, you'd have to imagine Derek Carr is going to throw to Hunter Renfro the most. But then after that, it might be DeSean Jackson. And I know he is available in almost every league.
And Derek Carr wants to throw the ball to DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. He loves to throw the ball down the field. He hasn't really had that guy that he's felt comfortable with. DeSean Jackson is that guy. You can guarantee Derek Carr will attack down the field to DeSean Jackson 3 or 4 times a game. And it's the guy who has the second most 50-plus yard touchdown catches in NFL history right there. So that's probably a good guy to have.
And there is your waiver wire ads to help you win your fantasy league. Lord knows I learned something, because I got 3 Green Bay Packers and a wide receiver from Carolina on a bye.
Oh boy.
And Darren Waller's hurt.
If Darren Waller's hurt, by the way, and not going to play, Fabian Moreau is a plug-and-play tight end for you right there. So there you go.
Interesting. But that means I'm going to have to drop Waller to pick him up. That's my problem.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, no. I don't want to do that. We head to the top of the hour. We're inside 48 hours to the end of Major League Baseball for this year, and the signings. Are the Red Sox going to do anything? And what did Brett Favre say about Mac Jones? That's next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.